Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The film is Do the Right Thing. It's the 30th anniversary of Do the Right Thing. Hi, David. Are you doing the right thing?
I always do the right thing. Every single time. Never miss. How about you?
Likewise. Ditto.
Well, actually, first of all, for anybody who's not totally aware of this fact, Do the Right Thing was an early movie for the great Spike Lee, who was a remarkable filmmaker and a remarkable American artist and remarkable American figure. And it remains to this day his most important film, although he's made a whole lot of other remarkable movies along the way. And this is the 30th anniversary because the movie came out in 1989. And it is being re-released right around now for brief engagements in a number of theaters here and there. And whether or not it happens to be in a theater near where any individual listener might be, it is also a little bit later this month coming out in a brand new Blu-ray DVD edition from the Criterion Collection in honor of its 30th anniversary. And it's already available like every place. You know, you can get it on Blu-ray and DVD and streaming services of various kinds. So it's a very easy movie to get a hold of. And if anybody has not seen it, they should see it. And if anybody has seen it, they should see it again and probably again and again, because I think it's really one of the great American films. I have to throw in here, I have to plug my book. I wrote a book a few years ago called Spike Lee's America, available everywhere, published by Polity Press. And I believe somewhere in there, I call Do the Right Thing the film that Spike was born to make, and I think it kind of is. He's made, again, a lot of other very good films and a lot of other, some very bad films. He's made a tremendous number of films, but I have to say that Spike Lee remains a unique figure in American film, because in a movie industry, the movie industry in America, I won't speak about other countries which have similar problems inflected in different ways, but American film has always been dominated from the very, very beginning by white men. And anybody who is not a white man faces extra uphill battles all the way. And Spike Lee, as an African-American man, is really the only African-American filmmaker, and maybe I could say the only real minority filmmaker, to build and sustain a very major career over the course of decades, and an astonishing achievement. And Do the Right Thing remains, I think, his greatest film, but it's also just kind of one instance of the enormous importance of Spike Lee. So anyway, for anybody not familiar with it, or anybody who would like their memory refreshed, Do the Right Thing, to put it in pompous terms, it observes the Aristotelian unities inherited from ancient Greek drama. I'm not sure Spike had that in mind, but it does. Unity of time, place, and action. It all takes place in one place, which is a block in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood of Brooklyn. It takes place in one day, a very long single day, the hottest day of the year. And it has unity of action, because all the action centers, it doesn't all take place in, but it centers around a pizzeria, Sal's Famous Pizzeria, owned by an Italian-American man, and in the Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood of the Bronx. And the action of the film deals with rising racial tensions over the course of this very long day. And very briefly, what happens in this day is that we have a very large cast of characters, played by a really large and remarkably great cast of actors, who interact with each other in various ways over the course of this day. But one of the kind of main strand that is running through all this is that, I mean, there is everything. There is just kind of interactions of everyday friendliness or non-friendliness among different people. There is a little bit of romance. There is a little bit of rivalry, a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But running through this is this kind of rising tide of racial tension. And this is kind of sparked by basically one individual. There is a young man who goes by the nickname of Buggin' Out. And Buggin' Out suddenly decides one on this day that he is a little bit offended by something in Sal's famous pizzeria. Sal has what he calls his wall of fame, which has all of these enormously famous, mostly Italian-American musicians, people like Frank Sinatra and so forth. And it occurs to Buggin' Out one day that since Sal's famous pizzeria is in the middle of an African-American neighborhood, why doesn't he have, as Buggin' Out puts it, any brothers on the wall? There's no black people on the wall of fame. And Buggin' Out decides there really ought to be some. And he just sort of doesn't let this go. And as the day goes by, there becomes a little bit more argument over this, and things come to a head in the evening when another character, a guy whose nickname is Radio Raheem, because he walks around blasting his boombox really loud with rap music, comes in and plays the music too loud, and Sal, the owner of the pizzeria, has had kind of a tough day a little bit. It's been a great day, good business he did that day, but he's a little bit weary, and he gets upset with Radio Raheem, and they start shouting at each other, and eventually violence erupts. And the climax of the film is a great violent kind of upheaval. And when Do the Right Thing was originally released way back in 1989, people predicted this is going to spark that kind of violence in real life. That turned out to be wrong. Nothing like that happened. And the people who predicted that apparently were thinking out of their own racial tensions in their own heads that they had not resolved. But the end of the movie is one of the remarkable things, and I don't want to give out spoilers here. But I just have to speak at the end of the movie because it speaks to the very, very, very best impulses that Spike Lee has as an artist. As I say, the climax of the film is one of violence, but the denouement that leads us up to the very finale of the movie is really quite remarkable. Violence has broken out in Sal's famous pizzeria, and the immediate violence was actually sparked not so much by Buggin' Out's protest and not so much by Radio Raheem's radio, which is what brought the cops onto the scene, but by a young character named Mookie, played by Spike Lee himself, who is kind of the delivery guy at Sal's famous pizzeria. And Mookie has thrown a garbage can through a window, and this is what sparks the violence that climaxes the film. So, you know, you might think, well, this is all a very distressing and depressing kind of an ending to the movie, but what happens after that is really quite remarkable, because there's a brief dialogue scene between Mookie, the delivery guy, and Sal, the owner. Mookie, the African-American delivery guy, and Sal, the Italian-American owner. And they express their distrust and their antagonism with each other in this dialogue scene at the very end of the movie. But then, in the same conversation, they partly reconcile with each other. And there's even a hint that, you know, after Sal rebuilds the business with the insurance money to repair the horrible damage from the violence, they might even work together again. After that, something else happens, which is really remarkable. We have two printed texts appear on the screen, and this is a movie not to leave at the beginning of the end credits because you have these important things. So you have the first printed text is from the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and this text briefly states why violence is always self-defeating. After that, however, comes another printed text, and this time it is a quotation from Malcolm X. And what he is saying is that violence in self-defense may be necessary and a matter of common sense and simple intelligence. So you have these two texts in a kind of a dialectical relationship with each other. Martin Luther King, violence is always self-defeating. Malcolm X saying, sometimes violence in self-defense is necessary. And then, perhaps more remarkably, the screen fills with a photograph of Martin Luther King and Malcolm X embracing each other, suggesting that their philosophical differences were kind of skin deep compared with their shared commitment to African-American equality. So, and then finally, there is a printed text which dedicates the film to five people who had suffered horrible consequences from real mob and police violence in New York in the years before Do the Right Thing came out. So all of this is a kind of a dialectical thing. You keep thinking, oh, this is how the movie is going to end up. The movie is going to end up with the white guy and the black guy simply at odds, and they can never be reconciled. But then they sort of a little bit do kind of reconcile. And then you think, oh, okay, there's the Martin Luther King quote. That's true. Violence is always bad. But then there's the Malcolm X quote. That's true. Violence sometimes does seem to be necessary in this fallen world in which we live. And then we have those two guys with these opposing points of view, not so opposed, embracing each other and reminding me, at least, that near the end of his life, Malcolm X was moving a little bit closer to Martin Luther King's philosophy. So this is exactly the way Spike Lee tends to operate in terms of the kind of ideology of his movies when he's at his best. It is never a matter of simple answers. This is the answer. That's the answer. This is how you might resolve racial tensions. That's how you might not resolve racial tensions. It's always a matter of these things are always in progress, in process, and different points of view and different outcomes and different emotions have to be balanced and reconciled with each other. And that's an unbelievably hard job, but that's the way the world really works. When the movie was first coming out, I thought, what a ridiculous title before I had seen it. Do the Right Thing. What does that mean? Well, as soon as I saw the film for the first time, I realized that it's one of the great titles of all time, because that's the question that the movie raises all the way through. What is the right thing to do? How do you know the right thing to do? Sometimes you can't know that something was or was not the right thing to do until it's been done and you see the consequences of it. So all of this kind of thing is what is swirling through Do the Right Thing throughout. I must hasten to add now that it is an unbelievably entertaining movie. It is just so much fun, and it is so funny and so sad. It is so everything. It's a brilliant act of dramatic writing and comic writing and acting. I'll mention a bit about the cast. Danny Aiello plays the Italian-American owner of the pizzeria. And by the way, this is such an interesting movie because it's not an all-black movie. It's got plenty of really important white characters, perhaps the most important being Sal, played by Danny Aiello, who was nominated for an Academy Award for his role. On the other hand, there are his two sons, Richard Edson, who seems to be a nice young man. Richard Edson plays one of them. And the other one is John Turturro plays him, and he is an unregenerate racist who is way too racist for his father's taste, for Sal's taste. So we have this very interesting dialectic, this very interesting competing dialogue between these two brothers, one of whom is a nice guy and just wants to go along and get along, the other one who is a real racist, even though he works and spends his life at this pizzeria in the middle of this black neighborhood. The very fine actor Bill Nunn plays Radio Raheem. Giancarlo Esposito is just brilliant as bugging out. Samuel L. Jackson plays the neighborhood disc jockey, Mr. Senior Love Daddy, whose voice and whose kind of broadcast to the black community in this little Bedford-Stuyvesant neighborhood kind of weave the whole film together and provide a kind of a continuity among its very different parts. Spike Lee gives, I think, the finest performance of his career as Mookie, the delivery guy, and there's plenty of other very fine actors. John Savage is in it in a small role. Spike's own sister, Joie Lee, plays Jade, a young woman of the neighborhood. Anyway, wonderful, wonderful acting, wonderful, wonderful everything about this movie. It's quite a remarkable film, and in ways, it turns out to have been prescient in ways that don't even necessarily relate directly to its very important racial content. It does take place, as I mentioned earlier, on the hottest day of the year, and you know that's a contributory factor in the tension that kind of escalates. Everybody is so hot throughout this movie, and it just keeps getting hotter and hotter, and that provides some of the comedy of the movie, and also again kind of reinforces some of the tension that's growing over the course of the day. But nowadays that we live in the era of worrying about climate change, this turns out to have resonances that were not even very apparent back in 1989, and it makes you realize kind of how Spike, I think, even when he didn't even necessarily mean to, was really just kind of looking to the future and kind of in envisioning things that were not yet in the public consciousness, but that were maybe percolating along in the public unconscious. So anyway, in conclusion, Do the Right Thing, which is back for its 30th anniversary and which is about to be released again in another very, very, very visually beautiful, technologically advanced home video edition, is a movie that everybody ought to see at least once. It's fabulously entertaining. By the way, I want to mention a couple of other actors in it, Ossie Davis and Ruby Dee, a legendary husband and wife team of African-American actors, and they are both marvelous in very different roles. Ossie Davis plays a sort of neighborhood drunk. Ruby Dee plays the woman who kind of looks out from her window on all that goes on in the neighborhood. Everything about this movie is wonderful. It does not hit a false note along the way. It's a very, very poignant and also hilarious and also just incredibly intelligent reminder that it's so hard to know what doing the right thing is, but we all got to keep looking for those little ways of doing it all the time, especially where explosive issues like race are involved, because the whole future of our society and our culture and our own individual souls really relies on that. So I'm very, very glad that Spike Lee is back in the public eye, and I hope everybody takes this opportunity to go see it because it's one of the great American movies. And that is my very pro-Spike Lee story this week, Jill.
For which we thank you as ever, David Sterritt, Films in Focus, the film Do the Right Thing, 30th anniversary.